Hello and welcome to the WTF One podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. Hi, Ash.
Hello.
This week, we have a very busy week in the world of motorsport. We have the 24-hour of Le Mans. We have IndyCar at Worldwide Technology Raceway. We have NASCAR in Mexico City. And of course, we have the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal at the Circuit Gilles Villeneuve et Il Notre Dame.
Well done.
Thank you. But let's talk headlines first, shall we?
Yeah, let's jump right into it. The F1 movie, you can't really get away from it. It is everywhere. We're talking about all the partnerships. I think KFC announced a $7 fill-up box here in the United States with the boxing box on it, which is really cute. The soundtrack's being released, I think, like part of it's been released. Tate McRae has a new song and music video out. Ads just everywhere. Apparently, during Apple's developer conference, it started with the F1 movie promo, and then it also had a car go on the roof of the Apple campus, a CGI car, obviously, but it was a whole thing for the Apple developer conference.
It wasn't an actual car on the top of Cupertino?
No, I guess they can't afford it. They got to save money in this economy. Had to go with CGI.
Yeah, but, you know, I know a lot of members of the media and content creators have been able to watch an early screening, and there's an embargo, so you can't talk specifics, but a lot of people say it is very fun and very good. Good in like the terms of summer blockbuster films, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have a very obvious, like, the mindset is I'm going to go in it and watch it for fun. But yes, I will definitely be making a video of all the things that got wrong in a very technical, matter-of-fact, well-actually aspect, okay? I will have fun watching it. It's probably going to be good fun, not going to be perfect. And then there'll be that lens of me being super critical for funsies.
I was about to say, is this going to be the start of a new series for you called Actually, where you wear glasses and you start by pushing them up your nose?
Well, actually, something with my first name. Yeah. I think so. I think the Italian job with the Mini Coopers. Can you actually steal that much gold in a mini modded Mini Cooper? Probably not. But I think it'd be a fun series to do.
Gold's a very heavy metal.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, for sure. What else we got?
Red Bull requested FIA super license exemption for their F1 junior driver Formula 2 racer, Arvid Lindblad. They want a super license exemption because of his age. Just so people know, this request is not directly related to Verstappen's penalty situation. It was requested well before his penalty points hit 11. Helmut Marko clarified, excuse me. They do have another driver, Ayumu Iwasa. So they do have drivers that could potentially fill in for regardless of whatever reasons, but they have requested Lindblad to get a exception.
I also do think they have to be very careful because, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe a Formula One team is only allowed to have four drivers drive for that team in any given season. So I do think they need to be somewhat selective of who they pick. What might make more sense is to have Liam Lawson drive that car because he's already driven for Red Bull
already
this
counted,
year. And put someone new into Racing Bulls. But I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm speculating here.
And since recording this episode on June 10th, the FIA has actually granted Red Bull Jr. Arvid Lindblad a super license prior to his 18th birthday. He turns 18 on August 8th.
Lewis Hamilton has met with the UK Prime Minister to discuss education reform as the 7-time F1 world champion furthers his commitment to his Mission 44 project. He joined a roundtable with Sir Keir Starmer and Secretary of State for Education Bridget Phillipson at 10 Downing Street to discuss how the UK government will work to support schools and pupils.
That's my champion right there. That's my goat.
Yeah, that's why we talk about Lewis Hamilton in just a different light. Just the fact that he does this is incredible, and we appreciate it.
This Lewis Hamilton Glaze Fest is brought to you by the good folks at Krispy Kreme.
Head Glazer, James Coker, and Ash Vandelay. He just transcends Formula One. I mean, he's probably the most well-known driver, so people just got to deal with it. And yeah, with Mission 44, doing good work.
But think about like what other drivers who are currently, you know, still in the middle of their career, who are actively partaking and starting like charitable, not just charitable organizations, but like being involved in trying to do good things for the world on top of actively competing in a very competitive sport. This is when a lot of people, and this is a slight tangent, when people compare like Jordan and LeBron, and yes, Jordan won 6 championships. LeBron, I believe, has 4, but he went to the finals, like, I think 11 seasons in a row or something like that. But LeBron actively does a lot for his community and does a lot of charitable, is part of a lot of charitable causes that I believe Michael Jordan didn't do when he was in his prime. So to see athletes take some of their time and bandwidth to do this while they're still actively competing in their sport is very admirable, in my opinion.
And for this weekend, as you mentioned earlier, we had the 24 hours of Le Mans.
Before we get into that, I just want to say I listened to the episode that you did last week with Pondon, I was fascinated by the part of the podcast when you were talking about super licenses and the different levels of super licenses.
Yes.
I thought it was so good.
It's I hope I explained it well, but it's a lot to talk about, but it makes sense when you're watching it. When you see something called, like, you'll see a pro class, you'll know they'll have a certain number of licenses, and it's all kind of just,
I'm fascinated by that. And what I want to know is, do they have like a physical license? Is there a hard copy of it that they carry around in their wallet that we could see?
Oh, I actually don't know. I don't think so. I've never been flashed a FIA. It's not a license. It's a categorization. Let's make that very clear.
Sure.
There's
but
no.
It's called a super license. Like, do they get a car?
No. F1 is a super license. What we talked about is a driver categorization.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
So do F1 drivers have a printed super license is the question you're probably asking. The categorization is different, and that's
categorization
just,
like the gold, the
bronze, gold, silver,
platinum. Do they get a card that shows their categorization?
You just get it revoked or promoted in October.
Like, yeah, or do you receive like a certificate in the mail or something like that? Like, I would like to know if there's some like physical version of this.
Oh, that's a great question. I do not know. If anyone else does, please let us know. But that'd be fun.
Yeah. All right. Moving on.
So yeah, Le Mans, the most prestigious race in the world, I would say, before everyone starts commenting from the F1 world. Anyway, there were 2 additional free practice sessions held a week before the race for teams to prepare. We cannot read into it, but no one appears out of contention in the hypercar category, aside from Aston Martin and Peugeot, who do seem on a little bit of a back foot. Peugeot in particular has an unfavorable balance of performance, or BOP, B-O-P, and failed to improve on its 2024 time, losing over 3 seconds to the day's best. Aston Martin, despite being new to the hypercar class, at least showed slight progress. So it'll be very cool to watch the hypercars. Then ex-F1 driver Pietro Fittipaldi topped the LMP2 class in the number 22 United Autosport, while Jose Maria Lopez went fastest in LMGT3 in the number 87 Lexus GT3. So
it's interesting that you reference Pietro Fittipaldi as ex-F1 driver when, yes, he was a reserve driver for Haas for many years, but I believe he only drove in like 2 Formula One races, right?
So they like to do this. This happens in IndyCar and WEC. Okay. Anytime anyone has ever touched an F1 car, you then say ex-F1 driver. So people are like, oh.
Because I actually more so associate Pietro Fittipaldi as an IndyCar driver than as a Formula One driver. Because he had more than a full season in IndyCar.
And you know I love IndyCar, but I don't think I'm stepping out of bounds when I say more people are interested, probably, if you say ex-F1 driver, especially in Le Mans, where they race.
Yeah, that's
it's just
that's
more of a global platform.
That's fair. And I'm a Pietro Fittipaldi stan. This is no, I'm not, nothing I'm saying is
IndyCar,
is
we love you. But it's just,
nothing I'm saying is an attempt to get Pietro Fittipaldi shade. I'm a big fan of this.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. I think as a global appeal to F1 fans, if you say ex-F1 driver, Pietro Fittipaldi, people are like, oh, just how in IndyCar when Romain Grosjean was racing, it was ex-F1 driver. Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that Andre Lotterer is an ex-F1 driver, but he only raced in one race for, I'm going to butcher this name, but Caterham?
Mm-hmm.
Caterham? And he raced one race for them. And
a race is a race. Hey.
A race is a race.
Okay, a race is a race. You started, okay. You took the 5 lights out, and away we go. Hey.
Andre Lotter is a very accomplished driver in his own respect, like Formula E, very accomplished World Endurance Championship driver, also Super Formula, had a very long, successful career in Super Formula. So, again, no shade to Andre Lotter here. Okay, folks?
Angry DMs. We do have GT3 news for the Iron Dames. Michelle Gatti is out due to a foot fracture. She sustained during pit stop practice, and Sarah Bowie will fill in. I think also the Iron Lynx, which is the affiliate team, also had some crew changes. There's already been drama around, not drama in a bad way, but just like stuff's already been happening where drivers need to sub in, come in and out and stuff. So
yeah,
it will not be tired. We do have Wednesday does feature one practice session before the all important qualifying session fights for a place in Thursday's Hyper Pole. So drama starts on Wednesday, whenever you're listening to this.
I cannot wait. I'm super excited for the 24-hour Le Mans. I am going to be in Canada with a brand, with Lenovo, mm-hmm. for the Canadian Grand Prix, so I will not be able to watch the 24-hour Le Mans as much as I would like, but I will have many phones on me and a battery and an external battery, so I'll try to be watching it when I can.
I'm very fortunate that as this comes out, I think I'm allowed to talk about it, that I will be doing a watch along with Cadillac on their YouTube channel. They mm-hmm. have four cars racing the hypercar category, so they'll have onboards, and I'll be there the first 2 hours and the last 2 hours facilitating trivia. They have some messages from Cadillac drivers and things like that. So it'd be a very fun experience, and I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, I'm pumped. We have, what, 13 manufacturers in WEC participating in the 24-hour of Le Mans? Which ones are the U.S. manufacturers? We have Cadillac, Corvette, Ford. Yeah.
GT3.
But yeah, USA, let's go.
We'll see how that goes.
In business, they say you can have better, cheaper, or faster, but you can only pick two. What if you could have all three at the same time? That's exactly what Cohere, Thomson Reuters, and Specialized Bikes have since they upgraded to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the blazing fast platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs, where you can run any workload in a high availability, consistently high performance environment and spend less than you would with other clouds. How is it faster? OCI's block storage gives you more operations per second. Cheaper? OCI costs up to 50% less for compute, 70% less for storage, and 80% less for networking. Better? In test after test, OCI customers report lower latency and higher bandwidth versus other clouds. This is the cloud built for AI and all of your biggest workloads. Right now, with zero commitment, try OCI for free. Head to oracle.com/WTF. That's oracle.com/WTF.
And then, as you mentioned, the other racers this weekend include NASCAR in Mexico for the first time, which is mm-hmm. Exactly where F1 races. They'll be there, too, this weekend. IndyCar at Worldwide Technology Speedway.
In beautiful Madison, Illinois.
A little juxtaposition there, and many more, of course.
Ash and I have a bone to pick with IndyCar. We both love IndyCar, but we also love seeing IndyCar drivers getting to participate in the 24-hour of Le Mans. Was it last year or 2 years ago? You had Scott Dixon and Alex Palou mm-hmm. driving in the race. Of course, Nolan Siegel won last year in the LMP2 category with United Autosport. It's awesome to get to see drivers from other series participate in this historic race. And when they don't get their schedule straight and they can't do it, it's a bummer.
Yeah. I know it's a pipe dream every time I say I wish they would just all work together. All these motorsport yeah. series are in competition with each other.
Yes.
They will never do work together and try to make sense for us fans and the drivers, unfortunately, which is why we have three 24-hour races this month back-to-back, because F1 took the original spot 24-8 and so on and so forth.
Yeah. I just would love all racing series, including Formula One, to let Le Mans be its own weekend and let drivers from every series participate in it. I think it would be so good for all motorsport and all series. That's just my opinion, man.
Our motorsports is just never going to happen, unfortunately. It's same thing as how the Canadian GP might likely fall during the Indy 500 coming up.
Boo.
Agreed. Well, we know exactly why they're doing that. So, alas, fans, enjoy this June while you can.
Boo.
Shall we jump into the Canadian GP preview, James, with your fun fact corner?
Let's talk about the Canadian Grand Prix in Montreal. I will be there. I cannot wait. Going to eat poutine for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But let's talk fun facts in James's Fun Fact Corner, brought to you by the good folks at Lights Out Blog, a.k.a. Nick Haldenby. It's not brought to you by them, but we did take the facts from Nick's beautiful website. So here we go. The 2025 Canadian Grand Prix will be the 1,135th World Championship event in Formula One history. What a milestone. I hope there are posters everywhere about it. Happy 1,135th race. Since 1978, the Canadian Grand Prix has been held at the Circuit Gilles-Villeneuve on 43 occasions. The track is the third Canadian venue to have hosted the event. I believe for a long time it was at Mosport Park, which is outside of Toronto. In the 43 races at the Circuit Gilles-Villeneuve since Villeneuve, I'm saying it, Villeneuve?
It's Villeneuve. You want me to call him? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, let's call him. Since 1978, 24 different drivers have won the race. The average win margin at the circuit is 10.418 seconds, though the last 10 races at the Circuit Gilles-Villeneuve, the average win margin of the Canadian Grand Prix has been 7.119 seconds. The 2025 Canadian Grand Prix will be 56 laps with a total race length of 305.27 kilometers or 189.7 miles around 13 turns. Thank you for writing down that conversion because I would not been able to do it in my head. The official lap record at the Circuit Gilles-Villeneuve on Île Notre Dame is 1:13.078 seconds by Valtteri Bottas in 2019. There have been only 7 occasions on which all of the top 3 on the grid have gone on to finish on the podium. It has happened in 4 of the last 5 races. The top 3 qualifiers of the track have finished in the order they started only 3 times at this track. This weekend, Fernando Alonso becomes the first driver to make 20 appearances at the Canadian Grand Prix. Felicidades, or enhorabuena, to our Spanish friend. This also marks Esteban Ocon's 166th start in Formula One. I hope there are posters everywhere for that.
Just random numbers everywhere, like it's lost.
166, yeah. Unless he takes pole position, he will overtake Martin Brundle and Johnny Herbert for the second on the list for most F1 starts without taking pole position. And in a Haas, probably not going to happen. Let's be honest here. Max Verstappen will make a 78th start in car number 1 at the 2025 Canadian Grand Prix. He overtakes Sebastian Vettel for second most starts in car number 1. He will be the only, behind only Michael Schumacher, who made 120 starts in car number 1 during his career. I have a number 1 question. Drivers who have won the championship in Formula 1 have the option the next season to have number 1 on their car. Has any driver ever opted not to have that?
Yes.
Who?
Lewis Hamilton.
He's always had 44. He's never gone to
one. I think he's gone number 1, but I think sometimes he's opted not to use. I'm trying to think about his, when I was watching 2006, did he use number 1 ever? Okay, he did in the 2009 season after winning 2008. However, he's since opted to retain his preferred number 44.
Got it.
So Lewis Hamilton, and he's only used it once the first time. Good for him.
All right. This is going to be the 100th Grand Prix start for Alpine. Does that mean since they rebranded from Renault to Alpine?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. And this will be the 200th race for Haas F1 team. You know, I hope there are posters everywhere that says 200.
166, 200, 100, 1, 135.
What a bunch of fun facts. Thank you so much for putting that together, Ash.
Yeah, I think the Max Verstappen one is interesting. The car number 1, the 100th Grand Prix start for Alpine, 200th race for Haas. It's 75 years. We've been around the block a couple times, you know? So these stats are starting to add up.
I still don't totally understand the whole Alpine rebrand. I know it happened years ago, but like I feel like Renault is like an iconic name with great brand affinity. I don't know why they ever changed from Renault to Alpine, but what do I know? I'm just a dumbass.
But what is Alpine?
It's another brand of car that Renault manufactures, right?
It is their specific, it's their
luxury cars?
Yeah, their sport brand specialty. So there's just advertising.
Whatever.
I think your daily driver Renault is doing just fine.
To quote Jay Cutler standing at a urinal, don't care. Do you know that story?
You just asked, though.
Do you know that story? No. Do you know that story?
I do not know that story.
There's like a famous Jay Cutler story where Jay Cutler's like standing at a urinal in a bar in Chicago and a guy goes in. It's like, oh, Jay Cutler, you went to Vanderbilt. I also went to Vanderbilt. And Jay Cutler just at the top of his lungs while he's pissing goes, don't care.
I mean, yeah, don't bother a man when he's using the restroom. That's weird.
100%.
I agree with Jay Cutler on this one.
Bob Costas told another story where a guy in a bathroom like had just walked away from a urinal. He goes, oh, Bob Costas, so nice to meet you, and stuck his hand out. And Bob was like, you didn't even wash your hand. And the guy ran his hands underwater for a second and then stuck his hand out again. And Bob Costas was like, no, he didn't even wash them.
Before you meet James, please wash your hands at all, moving forward in all races
or
that James
anybody.
Attending.
Or this has nothing to do with me.
It's true. Should be. You should always wash your hands. This is a whole other podcast we have now started.
Let's talk storylines.
Let's talk storylines. We talked about this a little bit. Max is already on thin ice. Regardless of your view of what happened in the previous Grand Prix, he is 1 point away from race suspension till Austria. He needs to avoid any incidents that result in penalty points. After Austria, he'll have two more that kind of expire, so he'll be three away. However, he just got three, so it's not like it's a saving grace or anything. And I'm wondering if drivers are going to use that against him. Right, if let's say it's him and Lando Norris in the front row, or is Lando Norris going to be slightly more aggressive or try something a little different to get Max in trouble, or because Max has to play it safe? I don't think Max will play it safe. I think he'll still drive the way he drives. I feel like this won't hinder him in any way.
I blame Red Bull for making him give the position back for all of this, because if they hadn't, if they hadn't done it, he never would have lost his temper and done that. Because we then found out after the race he didn't have to have given it back. So, like, what are we doing here?
Why don't we blame the person who had the temper tantrum? I don't understand why we're blaming Red Bull for this.
I would rather be an enabler.
Got it. Understood. he can have the feelings he wants, but his reactions are also still his responsibility, James. Sure. So... So hopefully they figured it out, any communications issues. Again, the strategy was going well until the safety car.
What I'm trying to say is that working with Max Verstappen is like working with Mercury. It's high science, all right? You got to be careful. You got to be careful with it.
There have been a lot of articles from people smarter than both James and I about how Max Verstappen has kind of been enabled his entire career to... Yeah. I thought those were pretty interesting. We had some from Elizabeth Laksock. I think The Race published a few... points around that, so it is very interesting to see. But yeah, he's pretty familiar with Canada and winning Montreal, so I think I'll be interested to see. He does want his paternity leave though, so I wouldn't be surprised if he just races the way he usually does and just deals with whatever comes if he gets an additional penalty point between now and the end of Austria weekend. We also have no official confirmation on Lance Stroll and if he's able to race or will be replaced by their reserve driver. I know there's rumors that he looks good for Canada, but nothing official from Aston Martin. Mm-hmm. They're taking into account the time difference between France and Montreal. Aston Martin have until the end of FP2 to decide their lineup for the weekend. The team does have some leeway to run Stroll in a practice session on Friday to evaluate his fitness, but they would need to make the call almost immediately after to ensure his replacement, if needed, arrives in time and fresh for FP3.
I know you guys talked about this last week, and there was speculation that maybe it's Drugovic, maybe Stoffel Vandoorne, who's also a reserve driver for Aston Martin. They also talked about maybe Valtteri Bottas coming, but Valtteri Bottas apparently has a 5-place grid penalty that he would have to serve. Have there been any updates? Like, is Drugovic going to prioritize being in Canada over being in Le Mans, or have there not been any updates since last week?
Yes, he is going to prioritize F1.
So Drugovic is going to be in Canada, is no longer going to race in France.
But we don't know officially. That's the thing. Okay. But he has let him know that he will prioritize Formula One if they do call him.
Okay.
But we're hearing that currently may not be the case because... The rumors are swirling that Lance Stroll is good for Canada.
Okay.
But there's no official confirmation, but we'll find out. But yeah, if you've been working towards F1 your entire life, that makes sense that you would drop Le Mans.
100%.
Don't blame him.
Don't blame him. I still would love to see Drugovic get an opportunity in F1.
Mercedes now seeks to capitalize on favorable conditions in the Canadian Grand Prix, courtesy of lower temperatures and the track layout. A year ago, George Russell was on pole position in Canada, setting an identical lap time to Max Verstappen, but starting from pole because he set it first, as the top seven cars in qualifying were covered by just 0.28 seconds. So, Mercedes wants that P2 and the constructors back from Ferrari.
They sure do. The fight for P2 in the constructor standings is very close.
Fight for everything besides P1 is incredible.
Yeah. It'll be exciting to watch over the course of the season.
Because you have the rest of the pack. Is Williams going to bounce back? I know the previous race I said we can call it a mulligan, just chalk it up here. The Montreal circuit is likely to favorite the Williams car a little bit better, so they want to be both in the points and lead the constructors over their midfield rivals, right? Haas is going to run that special livery to commemorate their 200th race. They need a good bounce back as well because they're competing with Williams a little bit there for P5 in the constructors, but
for sure.
I don't think their special livery adds 0.2 to a race pace, so we'll find out if they can do better. And then Isaac Hadjar is looking to make 4 consecutive points finishes as well.
Also, what is it? He's also the only rookie who hasn't been eliminated from Q1.
Ooh, is that a stat? I didn't know that.
I believe so. I believe he's made it to Q2 every race. So.
Yeah, he tough start for him this season, but I'm glad he's crushing it. There's no reason.
He's crushing it. He's been so impressive, and he's also like carried himself very well. Like he seems to have settled into life as a Formula One driver fairly well.
Yeah.
So, props to him. He also seems like such a sweet little small being, right?
Just a little guy. Not like literally little guy. If people are taking this metaphorically.
Like I don't mean like height wise. I just mean like what a cute little person. not small. You know,
James, you're not helping. You're digging out. I mentioned like the meme wise, where you see like those memes. Yeah. Just like I'm just a little guy, where he's like he's heads down like and fearless. But
yeah, he's also baby chill. Girl. He's baby girl.
Oh no, we're not doing this on this podcast. Absolutely not, James.
A little cinnamon roll.
Anyway, right, I've been seeing a lot of storylines about how Sauber can keep up their momentum with what happened to Nico Hülkenberg. But unless I see it happen again, I currently have no comment on this. This was a once-in-a-lifetime race for Sauber, with Nico Hülkenberg having a set of fresh sauce because he got knocked out of qualifying early in Barcelona. So unless that happens again and he wows me into the points, I'm gonna have to hold any momentum talks for Sauber for a while. Looking for patterns, not for one-offs.
I love that.
Who are you going to the Canadian Grand Prix with, by the way?
I'm going to the Canadian Grand Prix with Lenovo.
Did you want to tell the people about your plans?
About my plans for the weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, my plans are to attend the Canadian Grand Prix all 3 days with Lenovo. I'm watching. Like, what do you mean? What are my plans? I'm going to go to the race and I'm going to watch the race.
They don't make you do content at the race?
I'm going to make content at the race, yes. I'm going to make content about the wonderful suite of Lenovo products, including Motorola and the technical partnerships that Lenovo has. I don't know if you know this, but Lenovo is a global partner of Formula One, Ash, and Motorola is the official smartphone of Formula One, which is both fun and cool and exciting.
It's the official smartphone of Formula One?
Yeah, can you believe it?
Motorola?
Yeah. Look it up. Fact check me right now, but that's...
Who knew?
Yeah,
besides you and Lenovo. Do you know they had smartphones? James, what are your predictions? Should I say mine first and then you can come up with yours?
Let's get into predictions.
For pole, I have Oscar Piastri just because it is Oscar Piastri. And I know people are going to be talking about the storyline that McLaren's still fighting between themselves. And that's been a consistent storyline for every single race. So I don't feel the need to repeat that one as we go through storylines. So for me, pole, Oscar Piastri, P5, George Russell, P4, Max, P3, Charles Leclerc, P2, Lando Norris, P1, Oscar Piastri.
Love that. I am going to be Lando Maxing for the rest of the season until something else drastically happens. So I'm going to say Lando Norris on pole. I'm going to say Charles Leclerc P5, Max P4, George Russell P3, Oscar Piastri P2, Lando Norris P1.
Okay. I think Charles Leclerc can get a hat trick podium here. I think he can do it 3 times. I believe in him.
He's going to do it for his brother who just got married.
Arthur?
No, his older brother.
Didn't realize he had another brother.
There was There was just a photo that he posted on Instagram. Yeah, it's his older brother.
Oh, I didn't know he had an older brother. I thought it was just him and Arthur.
He's 36 years old.
Can you imagine? I just like don't know about athletes and their families too much. So I'm just like, oh, yeah, you know, unless they talk about him a lot. But
that makes sense. That's what differentiates you from a lot of other motorsport fans, because we love the parasocial connection with all the athletes. And we want to know every detail about their personal lives. We want to know their dog's name. We want to know what their dog eats. We want to know how their dog's pooping. You know what I mean?
That's a lot. That's a little TMI for some people. But I hope that makes you happy and gets you to sleep at night, you know?
Yeah. We're just being silly at this point. Folks, thank you so much for listening to the WTF1 podcast. I'm your host, James Coker, along with Ash Vandelay. We will be back next week to review the Canadian Grand Prix, as well as talk about the 24-hour of Le Mans, as well as NASCAR, IndyCar, and everything else going on in the world of motorsport. Until then, au revoir.
Bye.